So I've seen Dr. Holt talk many times, so I thought he would go long. So I'll keep this pretty quick. It's very appropriate that I'm actually following him because his work has been very motivational to a lot of the work that I've been doing. What I'm going to talk about today is just a very simple piece of an experiment I've recently conducted with David Ackerley, where we're generally interested in trying to connect macroevolutionary patterns of niche conservatism to microevolutionary processes. And there were a lot of kind of questions and hypotheses we addressed with this experiment, but I'm going to focus on one particular result that we thought was really interesting that I think could be emphasized more in theoretical models of these processes. Does this advance?
No.
So the general question that my poster focuses on is just how do colonists evolve to exploit empty niche space? And so it's this common process in adaptive radiations. We imagine colonists founding an empty island with lots of niche space, being able to diversify and fill those niches. And we were generally interested in trying to understand the microevolutionary process by which that happened, especially because founding populations you often imagine to have lower levels of genetic variation than perhaps the original source populations would. So we conducted a very simple transplant experiment using this system that is near and dear to my heart that I think is a really valuable kind of model system for understanding niche evolution and the evolution of range limits in plant communities. There are these California vernal pools. They're wetlands kind of scattered throughout the California floristic province. They're ephemeral wetlands, so they fill with rain in the winter and they dry up in the spring, and they're occupied by a pretty diverse community of primarily endemic annual plants. And the annual plant being a key factor, you can estimate fitness after a single generation. Very easy to conduct experiments across these small-scale environmental gradients. And so these guys just smack of niches, right? You look at that and you see very clear distribution patterns of the plants. The species we focused on for this experiment is Lasthenia fremontii. It's in the Goldfield genus. The phylogeny for this clade, the Lasthenia genus, has been pretty well resolved by Bruce Baldwin and some of his students. And there's several lineages within this clade that exist within vernal pools. Vernal pools have been called by others as kind of an island-like system because you have these endemic species restricted to the wetland part of the ephemeral wetland part of the community that can't exist in the terrestrial environment. So what we did was we used seeds collected from the field and generated paternal half-sib families under greenhouse conditions. Paternal half-sib family quantitative genetic structure allows you to estimate additive components of genetic variation. And then we took the seeds from those crosses and planted them back out into the source population within and beyond the local distribution of the species. So within what is observed as the kind of realized niche, this is the center of the distribution, right at the margins, and then beyond it. And then almost as an afterthought, we thought, hey, what would happen if we removed neighbors and half of the plots? So we did that. These were paired plots across the gradient, and we took neighbors away and half of them and just maintained that. So in a kind of conceptual sense, we have our same genotypes planted across the local ecological niche of this species, as illustrated within vernal pools. And half of them are kind of invading an empty island, you could imagine, because we've removed the local competitors, and half of them are invading an island that is already saturated with the remaining community. Results could be, the results I present on my poster are basically, yes, competition is important in shaping the distribution of this species, so you can see this easier on my poster, but this top line are the neighbor removal plots, and the bottom line are the plots with neighbors. You can see that if you take neighbors away, the population actually prefers the abiotic conditions a little bit higher than we observe in the population. The more interesting result, though, which I've kind of illustrated here, is that the variance among sires in their performance across this gradient was only detected when we removed neighbors. So the way we kind of thought of this was there's genetic variation in the fundamental niche, but not the realized niche. And so the presence of competitors hides the expression of additive genetic variation in the ecological niche. So Again, those are the conclusions: genetic variation, the fundamental niche, but not the realized niche. So this competitive release in new habitats may allow the expression of genetic variation that's otherwise hidden. And this could provide a microevolutionary mechanism that would allow these invading colonizing lineages to potentially diversify. Oh, I guess that was it. So anyways, I'd love to talk to anybody about any questions.
Okay, short question.
What phenotypic traits are associated with this additive genetic? I mean, what did you measure?
Fitness. We basically were looking at fitness across the distribution.
So
we were really looking at performance in the different microhabitats as our response variable. We kind of skipped the trait part and went right to the niche.
Yeah.